Bye, Kelly.
Good morning or afternoon.
Good afternoon, yeah. Good evening.
Or evening for you, that's right. I see that we have some visitors today for public comment. Melotta or Sue, do either of you want to speak?
He's a mute his microphone. Kelly, can you mute your microphone for us?
Can I what?
Mute your microphone?
Yeah.
We'll wave at you. Can we watch you speak?
All right. Melotta Allen, Latter Day Saint Association president for many years. And we've been involved with parks. We've been promoting parks. We've actually, as most of you know, we have participated in a Latter Park way before the Metro was in effect. And so we have come up with a lot of funding from the community to build that park and a lot of cooperative partnerships. So we are hoping today that the Crystal Creek Park will be put on a master plan, so that there could be some other amenities put into that park. But also the Palaida Park had a small area approved for celebration of children in memory of the Getcho, Madison Getcho. And there were several different landscaping features that were approved for that. That don't actually require permits, except for maybe the pad that is going to be put in as a circle of life for the kids with disabilities and impairments, and they could come together and sit on those boulders and discuss and meet and greet as well as become part of the community. But that particular area has also been, at first we were discussing maybe putting a little bit of a water feature there, but then of course we were told that that would require a pool type of a permit. And of course, that would be extremely prohibitively expensive for all of us, including those of us who would be providing some funding. But allegedly, there is some technology to where you can use a sprinkler system and make it a separate sprinkler system and only on as needed basis use it for maybe a water feature type of activity. And of course, we would also wash off the pad. And especially for the 4th of July, 1 year we have a little sprinkler that the Marvel let us borrow. And the kids were just having so much fun. It was a very, very hot day. And there was a lot of kids that were disabled and everything else. And they were just a little bit of a mist cooled them off. It was a very pleasant outing. And it made it so much more excitable for everybody. It was really truly a community event that would continue for a couple of hours. So if you could consider those types of irrigation systems in the parks, we would like to have that in Palaida Park, in Urquhart Park, or anywhere in the county. Because if you're using the irrigation system that's separate, you can turn it off on demand, you can turn it off, and it would be minimal maintenance. And I hope that it would not require a pool, because it would pool a permit, because it would not recycle the water. We just watered it along. So that's one of those other things. But then also I volunteer for the city of Vancouver, as I was saying. And we get a lot of travelers that go on outings that are done for them. And we have disabled, we have impaired, we have senior citizen programs. And kids benefit from all of those activities on those outings, as well as in youth camps, and as well as some of the classes that are not offered by athletic clubs or others, you know, that we're looking to fill that void in the unincorporated side. And of course, the city is charging us extra. So even if we didn't have a big, giant community center, then, you know, even if we could just get a look at the programs that would encourage those types of activities, and even maybe Tai Chi in the park. For seniors, you know, if we could do that, that would be great. And we actually have some volunteers that would teach it. Some of them are certified physical therapists as well as Tai Chi instructors. Thank you.
That's a good idea. Thanks, Melotta.
Especially like the one about the kids trying to move right
now. Yeah. I have a mystery.
Susan is the Tahani Association.
I can't add anything about Laura said, except that we support her, and most neighborhood associations we've talked to support that idea. And I also want to say quickly thank you to the Parks Foundation for working so closely with our neighborhood association on our parks issues. The city now owns one of our parks, Jacob Park. Soon, it looks like we might actually get a sidewalk on 58th Street so the kids can walk to the park now. It's our new park.
Yay.
And we have our pothole field, so we're happy campers right now.
But it's not
then you guys can thank you to the park county commissioners.
It all works.
I'm not sure. Would you like to speak? I'm not familiar with you.
No, thanks. I'm Gary Albrecht. I work with Jeff Knighton.
Oh, okay.
I'm here with Lori Lebowski.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome, Gary.
We're going to try to fill Jeff's shoes.
Ah, okay.
Well, you're leading us.
I guess that's the end of public comment then. Thanks. Roll call. Start with Leanne.
Leanne Mattis, Split County Parks.
Jeff Bonney, Clark County Public Works.
Heath Henderson, Clark County Public Works.
David Bedore, Clark County Counselor.
John Spencer, Parks Board.
Barbara Anderson, Board.
Marcia Keene, Parks Board.
Greg Foster, Parks Board.
Jeff Knighton, Community Planning.
Laura Lebowski, Community Planning.
Adam Abuka, Parks Board.
Bill Gilkey.
I'm sure.
Bill Gilkey, Public Works, Parks.
Kelly Bundy.
Parks.
One more.
Jared Dane, Clark County Parks.
Great. Looks like we have a quorum. Super. We received minutes in our email. And that was, as I noted, Kelly, for the January 9th meeting, not the workshop, as you pointed out. Any additions, corrections?
I move we approve the minutes as distributed.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept. All in favor?
Aye.
Passed.
Aye.
And we're going to continue on with our neighborhood getting to know you. And first on our agenda is Marcia.
Thank you. I'll show you where my little pin is. Right here. And he's got one on the board in front. The area I live in is an incredible mixture. We have a lot of older homes. We also have areas where there have been tract houses built, newer ones, but they're kind of stuck in the middle in odd places. It's also an area where there are large lots of property, and we're finding that what's happening to them is as folks die off, we're getting more and more apartments in our area, which is not making us real happy, but it's one of the things we have to live with. I have a little tiny park at the end of the street, which is delightful. It's right there. There it is. It's this one. It was that older house that was torn down, donated, I believe, to us. And no, we bought it. Okay, we bought it. It has nothing much. Yeah, I'm sorry. That was like everybody. It has nothing much in it. It has about three or four huge pine trees, which I'm trying to get trimmed up so we can sit under them or have a picnic under them or whatever we want to do. My neighborhood is made up of seniors, very seniors, and then very young families moving in. It's fun to watch the rollover that's occurring. A perfect example of what is your community's house that just sold. It was sold to a very young couple. And the houses were built, my house was built in 1980, and theirs was too. It's all a little section there. It was all built by the same person. So that's the kind of thing that's happening. I'm watching either new old houses being torn down and new huge ones built, or older houses and younger people moving in. So it's kind of an active neighborhood at this point in time. I'm a senior citizen. I do have that perspective that I bring to the board. I think think it's important because there are more and more of us all the time. However, at one point, some point in time, you're going to get rid of all of us, and you don't worry about us anymore. But I find that most of the people who walk around our area are, there's not a lot of things to do now. Out walking dogs or whatever. And we every time we go to that park, there are three or four people there with the dogs on leashes. And they're all picking up their stuff. So, and we pick up extra when we're there. But it's nice. This little park, this is where I get the most complaints. It's supposed to be a neighborhood park, but that's a very busy street that goes up and down where that park is. It was meant to be a neighborhood park, I guess, only for that side of the street. Because there's no walkway, there's no parking of any kind, and it's totally unusable for anybody on that side of the street. That's the kind of thing I think we have to be really conscious of. As a senior who might be using a walker to get out or any of those kinds of things, getting to this park is almost impossible. There's no parking, of course. There's no parking in my little park either. I can walk down there, but I sure would like to have seen them do it a little differently. I think that all of our parks need some kind of parking space for automobiles. I mean, we all have them. I know you'd like to get rid of them, but it's going to take a long time. So if we don't provide for that, we end up with people parking on the street, and then we get complaints about that. So it's something I think we need to be aware of. Obviously, we're aware of those kinds of things in with regard to seniors, what you have to do for the health and safety kind of thing in most places. I've noticed, too, in my area, they're correcting a lot of the sidewalks and putting in the new fancy ramps and things like that. That's wonderful because we have lots of people, we see them all the time, with the electric wheelchairs. Those kinds of activities are taking place. What would I like to accomplish while I'm on this, serving on this board? I personally, would you pull back a bit? I'll walk over here. I can do it over here now. I'm not pulling the wires loose. I personally would like to see some kind of community center in the northern county area. I personally would like to see a large center that allows us to have ball fields and swimming pools and all those things. I realize that's a huge project to think about, but I think it's really important that we start to think about that happening now, because if we wait too long, it won't happen because there are too many places where we can't do it. I think it's something we should look at. It should be part of this plan. Lighting out here. I didn't do any PowerPoint. I'm not terribly computer literate. I apologize for that. I read my email. That's not my deal. So, and my son can come and do all that stuff. But he was out of town this last week. But I think that kind of gives you an idea of where we are in my area. It's really fun to watch the turnover. I got to tell you, if you get a chance to do that, houses behind us, on the street behind us, there were some pretty old. In fact, last year I called them pretty messy little houses, much older than ours. And people were renting them out, and they were just not paying attention to them. All of a sudden now, we've seen four or five of them that are being completely redone. And with new owners and young people taking on the responsibility and taking on the house and what have you. So it's really fun to watch that. And I think that's what I like best about the area I'm in. It has large trees. As you drive through, you're going to think, well, this is really a substantial neighborhood. One of the houses at the end of our street is supposedly one of the original homes built on that huge piece of property that used to be. And the gentleman who bought it is a young man, and he's trying to totally redo it inside and keep the character of it, of course. So it's a lot of fun. You're welcome to come and visit me anytime. Our lots are large. That's something I think I need to stress. So many of the newer homes that are being built and put in spaces that are left open have no yards, no backyard, and no front yard. It's something that the counselors need to really take another look at. I know the developers like that idea because they can smoosh more houses onto the lots, but we have huge lots where we are. We love our one of the reasons we bought it was because we had a big lot in the back for the dogs to run and that sort of thing, but I'm really concerned about pieces of property where it's going to be filled in that we're not aware of that, because without that, there's no place to go. No, when you're living there with no yards, I can't even imagine what that's like. It's got to be really difficult. I wouldn't like it at all. I lived in a condo for a while. It's horrible, so I can imagine what it's like. Do you have any questions?
Well, it sounds like you addressed the population density that I did last week. And that's exactly what drives the need, doesn't it, for these parks that we're trying to provide. I did have one question, though, and that was, as you mentioned, the two parks near you, and they're both neighborhood parks. One of the things in the classification of a neighborhood park is that there isn't parking. I think it requires like 4 for a neighborhood park on street, right? Something like that.
Most neighborhood parks are.
But they don't have a parking lot. It's just.
No.
Yeah. So are you suggesting that we should change that classification?
I am suggesting that classification should be changed.
But the concept of a neighborhood park that you walk to, you're thinking that should change?
Yes, because look at the size, look at the number of houses on this side or that side of the park. Mine isn't too bad, except that 40th is becoming a very busy street. So if I'm walking, it's kind of, I have to, at some places, in fact, in front of the park, there's a ditch that had to be dug. So if I parked there and opened my door, I'm going to go fall right in that ditch. Okay. So there's no way to park there safely. There's no safe place.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention is, I'm one of my particular interests in parks is I would like to see us have in different locations parks where it's okay to play, where it's not a structure, that there may be trees and little bushes and all kinds of stuff that we don't build, that we just take it natural. And we let kids go into those areas and play and have a good time and build a fort or whatever they want to do. And I don't know about you, but I bet you most of you guys grew up being able to do that kind of thing. You had a space where you could go, you know, your buddies would go and you build these. I know I remember doing it at Chicken Creek, in the back of the farm of the neighbors. It's a place where they can use their imagination and do those kinds of things. So I'm really looking forward to some kind of natural park. I haven't seen that yet. I'm really hoping that we'll get there. That's it. Unless you have something else to say.
Well, thank you, Marcia.
Whatever.
It was interesting.
I'll just give my dittos to the idea of parking, that with the aging population, people are going to be less and less able to walk to a park. I'm not sure that you necessarily need to incorporate a parking lot into a park, but yeah, as part of the design is taking into parking considerations. Yes,
I think our neighborhood parks were designed with it in mind that there wouldn't be 500 people in the park. They're not large enough for those kinds of activities. Usually what happens is they draw, you know, 3 or 4 families or 2 or 3 or 4 kids in, and so like 4 parking spaces would be a thrill, Bill. How's that?
Well, to date, of course, neighborhood parks have not been designed for parking. That's typically slated for community and regional parks. And neighborhood parks, in fact, this piece that you pointed out here, Marcia, is actually a green space. And so when we purchase a property, we usually deconstruct the house, take all those features out, put a fence around it, put our park rule signs up, and then it stays there kind of in perpetuity until such time that we develop it.
Yeah. I don't want you to develop it. I want you to leave it alone.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about that. It's probably 20 plus years before we get to it. But then, of course, off to the east is the Douglas Carter Fisher Park. That's the one that's been developed. And then we have the Thomas Easton, wetlands that has been constructed just recently. That's been a big walking path that goes around it. I noticed you told us that the street that leads down to Douglas Carter Fisher Park doesn't have sidewalks, or it's not.
There are no sidewalks
to access.
In that area, in that entire area, there are very few sidewalks, unless it's newer homes. But none of them, I don't think any on 40th at all. None. And definitely not on that little street that goes around. I'm trying to figure out where I am. 55th Street, yeah. That one is dangerous. Am I in the wrong place? Okay. Anyway, there's a street that goes around that's really dangerous.
58th.
Is it
pretty big? 58th is pretty busy. Yeah. Great. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
John.
John's got a good, fancy presentation.
Here we go.
Should have had you come and do mine.
Next slide.
Where is he coming from? We'll find out, huh?
Okay, so I thought I'd just give a little bit of background about me. Master of Public Administration, 18 years in government or government-like stuff. One of my experiences in local government has been watching Parks and Rec suffer every time we have another voter initiative tax measure. One of the first places that is looked at is the non-essentials, and Parks is considered non-essential. I would tend to disagree with that, that Parks can be seen as a public safety component, that it's definitely a transportation component of when you're talking trails and the like. I've always argued that looking at it as a non-essential feature of government is short-sighted. So I definitely have the staffer's perspective. I have a very strong sense of mission of what I want government to do for communities. And I also have a very visceral understanding of the funding challenges that we face and the different directions that people are pulled. Next slide. This is me and my family. Grew up in Kansas, essentially. Two dogs, two kids, six goats, a wife. It's a good life. I live in the middle of a park. That's my house right there. The farm is sort of, if you rectangle this thing out, it's 135 acres. My mom lives there. My brother lives here. My sister owns this area and will eventually build. We keep telling her to. So in many ways, you might look at me and say, you know, what's his interest in a park? Because I've got one to myself. Go to the next slide. I even keep it to park-like standards. This is an area I actually rent out sometimes and have weddings at and the like. It's gorgeous, gorgeous property. But I still spend a lot of time in parks. We get bored wandering around our own property all by ourselves. The dogs and the kids need social interaction. The space isn't enough. The white line you saw in that previous slide was actually my running path. I have this great 3.5 mile path, about 2,000 feet of altitude change that you bust a couple lungs if you run it. But you know what? My feet get really, really wet and soggy. So I love to be able to go to a park that has gravel paths, that's all weather and the like. So I definitely have a advocacy for parks in rural areas as well as urbanized areas. Recognizing both that rural people have the same needs and desires in many ways, and also that if you buy that land now, it's going to be a heck of a lot cheaper than if you buy it 20 years from now. Next slide. I grew up in a house there on Prune Hill. This is Lackness Lake. If you guys look over here, we're talking that spot over there. When I lived there, my backyard looked a lot like it does over here now. And I saw that infill. I remember very well. I was coming home from college one night, driving up the backside of Prune Hill, and I took the wrong turn because roads had been changed, and I was lost for about 5 minutes on my way home. Again, I look at this, and I look at the infill, and I think this is what's coming, and this is why we need to be buying the land now, because you try to put a park somewhere up on Prune Hill, it's just not going to happen. Nobody's got that much money. Next slide.
Are you advocating to donate some of your land?
Yeah. Others have mentioned that. Others have mentioned that. I don't think the Spencer family, DLLC, is going to buy into it, though. I'm the flaming liberal of the family. The rest are make the Republican Party look a little bit leftist. So again, there's my property. This area is designated employment center. It's just starting to be annexed into Washougal. This area, I forget whether it's zoned for medium or high density housing. This area is actually still zoned 20 acre ag, but it's flats. It's easily accessible. It's gorgeous land. The day is coming. And especially with Campus Washougal, you don't have a lot of areas where you can put the growth management jobs. So I fully expect this employment center to expand northward. Good timing. How do I use parks? As I've already said, I'm big into jogging, playground for the kids, social interaction. Dog parks are important as well. And I have to say, dog parks, they're a fairly new phenomenon to me. I never used to bother to make my dogs just sit at home. They're dogs at home. Mm-hmm. But it's been very interesting to me starting to go to the dog parks, how they are used in as much, if not more, than many neighborhood parks, and how much interaction happens there. Mm-hmm. How much people get out and exercise when they're at these parks and taking care of themselves emotionally and physically, but through all that. That's Lacrosse Park. Incredible place. Love that place. Moving along. This is one of the most depressing sights I have seen in a while. It's a pocket park beside the Woodburn Elementary School. As you all know, developers are, I don't know if it's all in code, I suspect it is, that for a certain number of housing or density, you have to have a park of some sort. And they give you that. No trees, but those trees that you see there are up on somebody else's property. I'm hoping that there are going to be more parks than that in this 400 home development, because if not, there's going to be a lot of kids trying to use that. It's just so thoroughly inadequate. If I'm a person visiting that, it's like the public is telling me that I am worthless. Here's your token. So that is a huge issue for me, and one of the reasons why the public park system is so important. We cannot rely on private developers to do it, because they're not going to. They want to make money, and they're going to do the minimum required. Other pet peeves of mine, bark chip trails. I've mentioned already, I like to run with dry feet. Single-use facilities, this place, great, great facility. But if I'm going to come here and take my family while my kid is playing baseball or whatever, what am I going to do with my other kid who's not old enough and who needs a play structure?
There's a little play.
Is there a play structure?
Yes, it's right. It's right down there.
I take it back. But there are other single-use facilities. Yes. This one is single-use. I really want to see multiple components in all such thing, and then treeless facilities. Trees, I think everybody knows what trees do, so yeah. So there you go.
Urban foresters looking for places to put trees.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have planted, I think, 2,500 trees in the last 5 years. So working on that. Most of that land of ours at 90 acres is designated forest.
Yeah.
What do I want? Preserving spaces for the future, parks for people to congregate, and I say rural there, but truly everybody needs it. As Marshall was saying, as you have infill, you need the parks more and more in those infill areas, because you've lost the front yards, or backyards, as the case may be. I'll also make my nod to Kelly. Trails. If you have trails that go somewhere, that connect points of interest, connect communities, people are much more likely to use them, and getting people out and exercising is a wonderful thing. And I'm all about variety. We need a little bit of everything. I think that's all I have. Is there anything else? Oh, I do have one more slide. Parks can make a community. Businesses go to parks. Communities grow up around parks. If you want to have a safe community, give the kids a place to go play rather than destroy stuff. Trails, you can read this yourself. Trails get people out there and exercising. People need places to congregate. City Hall or the county building is not the place where they want to congregate. And that parks and trails really should be a priority. Now I think about it.
Very nice. Next, I want to add one thing, and that is this whole concept. You remember my presentation, and we talked about the beautiful park that our developer put in, is it goes one step worse than that. Even though it's there and all the neighbors see it, unfortunately it's desirable for those that have no park, mm-hmm. even though it's a bleak, little, ugly, one structure thing. But you get people like my neighbors, our whole HOA gets all up in arms because people across the street came to our park. So we're picky about it. We don't even want to share because it's for only this development. And totally with you on that. Bleak. Very sad. Any other questions for John? That was a phenomenal presentation.
Good one, John.
Good job.
Nice job, John and Marcia.
Super. It looks like the next thing on our agenda is the comprehensive plan update. Looks like you pulled Gene off, so I guess I'll turn it over to you, Bill.
That's right, sure. And basically, thank you, Councilor Madore, for being here today. I really appreciate it. And the one thing that we wanted to do is we've been making progress, you know, since we, you know, formed our Parks Advisory Board and we started working on the comp plan. I believe it was in about October, November. And then thank you for all the time you spent. I know we've had double meetings per month, you know, and some of those meetings were 4 hours long. So we can catch up, you know, try to finalize our comp plan, you know, within the year, of course. That did happen because comp plans take a long time for the planning process, for the public outreach process. And so we've taken a lot of steps in the right direction, you know, with all the help we've gotten from community planning and with conservation techniques. And then, of course, all your help. You know, you guys have been so proactive as far as Parks Advisory Board for pushing us along. And we really are thankful. So just wanted to catch up, Councilor Madore, on some of the progress we've made today and then possibly where we're going here in the near future. And so we do have some handouts here that kind of show you step-by-step what we've done today. So you can kind of follow along and we can do this together. And Kelly, please feel free to speak up anytime you'd like to. I'd like to actually have our Parks Advisory Board, you know, take us through the steps, and I can chime in here. But this is a labor of your hard work, the products that you've created to date so far, and so I think we can all share the task of explaining this. So one of the first things we did, of course, towards the comp plan, is we set the guiding principles, vision, mission, and goals. And that was one of those four-hour sessions that we took. And surprisingly, we managed to knock out a lion's share of that, that particular meeting. And then I believe we finalized the goals during the second meeting and then approved it. So that was a great step in the right direction to get the comp plan off on the right foot. The background information of history and articles, Jeff had a big hand in just kind of going through the pre-existing comp plan and taking a hard look. You want to talk about that a little bit, Jeff?
Sure. We took a look at the Parks and Recreation Plan that was done as part of the joint agency back in 2006 was the last time it was updated. We're updating it this time as a standalone document that references just Clark County's needs, and that's kind of the visions and goals that we focused on for this part of the comp plan that we're updating now, and that's how we updated the objectives and everything that we did in that long 4-hour session that Bill mentioned earlier. So it reflects just the needs of the focus that we're working on at this point. There was a lot of useful information in there, cut down on a lot of the prep time that we had previously that we needed to be done.
Louder. Can you speak louder? Because I'm having trouble hearing you.
Sure.
And Bill, the same problem for you. And
okay,
that
sure.
Means Kelly can't hear either one of you. So.
Lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
A lot of work was done.
Yeah. So we updated most of the things that were in the plan to focus on specifically Clark County's needs, and most of the goals and policies and the objectives. And that's where we're at now. We've got three of the chapters written that we needed to have written, and we'll put those in sequence at a later date at a time when we look at the entire document. And I don't know if you want me to just...
That's good. Okay. Thank you for... I appreciate it.
We're getting some feedback here, Kelly. Thank you. I did it. Okay, and then after that, we worked on the updated inventory of the county parks, trails, and natural areas, and special facilities. And basically what that was is where have we been? What have we done since the year 2006 when we did the earlier comp plan? So all the parks that we've built, you know, thanks largely to the Metropolitan Parks District formulation, we built a lot of parks since 2006 and made a lot of progress, which was fantastic. And, of course... we probably would have had a few more parks built right now, but the economic downturn slowed us down, and we're still kind of feeling the pain from that. So hopefully we're ramping up and moving forward so we can actually address that in our capital facilities plan. So the parks that have not been completed, we'll definitely address those as our priorities, and then take a look at what's left, you know, that we want to take a, to build out. You know, whether we want to focus on more community parks, more regional parks, what kind of trail systems we want in the future, that kind of thing. So that's a task that we need to go out, reach out to our public sector through the course of these open houses and ask them what it is that they truly want. You know, I've heard from our Parks Advisory Board, you know, neighborhood parks that you want to, you know, easy access to them, you know, some community parks, you know, larger parks with trees and a few amenities. There's a lot of things that we need to engage our public on to get their feedback. So that kind of gives us our instructions as to how we proceed forward with our planning process. So. And then we worked on levels of service assessment for urban and regional parks. And there again, levels of service is where are we now? Where should we be? You know, are we are we up to par with the state standard, national standard? With you know, our 2 acres per thousand for neighborhood parks. 3 acres per thousand for community parks and 1 acre per thousand for urban areas. You know, it's for a total of 6 acres per thousand. And the Gene Acres did a great job of presenting that on the service level standards and with a PowerPoint presentation. Got us kind of up to speed, did all that legwork in behind and showed us where we're at. Of course, we're lagging behind. You know, that's to be expected. I don't think that if there's any system out there that's, you know, right up to where the level, service level should be. But there again, we need to establish what that service level should be. Should we keep it the same? Should we keep striving for that level that, you know, we've been that's established right now, you know, to meet that 6 acres per thousand people? I kind of like the idea. You know, I don't think we should lower our service standards, but that's up to me.
And just because it's hard to attain doesn't mean we lower standards. You know, I think about how when we had traffic failure out there in Salmon Creek and they wanted development to start again. And so instead of fixing the real problem, they dropped the standard.
Right.
Which brings us to a screeching halt, but we've got building going on.
Mm-hmm.
No, lowering standards never works.
No,
it just sets up a mediocre system.
Keep the goal high and just keep aiming for it. That seems to be the best philosophy. But it really is up to our public and all of you folks to help us determine what our standards should be and, you know, what we need to put out there in our system. You know, what kind of parks, what kind of trails, what kind of amenities we want. So that's forthcoming. We did the recreational trends review and summary. It's kind of along the same lines, you know, what's happening out there as far as what are people doing out there in the community, you know, in the county, in the state, in fact, you know. On the trends, it was shown how many people like to have off-leash areas, you know, for their dogs.
How many people like to have skate parks? How many people like to have ball fields and sports fields? How many people like to have community parks, that kind of thing? So that was a trend. Gene gave us that presentation and did all that legwork. Do you remember that? That was actually on our last meeting together.
Yeah.
She gave that presentation, and she did a very good job on that. Technical support for community planning and the Parks Advisory Board. So that is another piece that we've worked on. Development of public engagement plan. That is more recently been done, and with a lot of help from Jeff Mize here and all of you, as well as our consultants. And that was basically laying out how we're going to get the word out to our public. And so we've got, three open houses scheduled, March 3rd, 4th, and 5th. We've got some stakeholder meetings that are coming up. I believe the next one is at the NAC meeting on March 9th. And then we also have a couple more stakeholder meetings that we're going to try to set up. One of them will probably be all of the different cities that we have around us, just to get their take, because we, you know, as the county, we're kind of the umbrella over all what the cities do. So they always look to us, you know, for what we're doing. And so we like to get their advice as to, you know, what they want to see in the future as well, because it may have impacts on them. And so with that, the engagement will then allow us to have a survey. We'd like to have as many people fill out a survey as possible, and that's going to be an online survey through the county website. And so with that, it asks the specific questions. What do you want to see in the future? Do you want neighborhood parks? Do you want, what kind of facilities do you want? What kind of amenities? All that's in that survey. And with that, we will actually gather all that information when that whole public outreach is done, and then start working on our capital facilities plan. And so with that actually is our roadmap for the future. So our next 6 years, what are we going to do? It's going to be addressed in the capital facilities plan. So all the sites have to be listed, all the parks, all the amenities, everything has to be listed. It is not a list that we have to accomplish, but it does need to be on the list if we want to go after grants. You know, if it's not there, we can't seek a grant for that particular aspect. Let's see. With that, so after we gather information, come up with a capital facilities plan, you guys are going to be completely engaged in that whole process. That's probably going to be two or three more meetings to make that happen. Data collection from results, develop capital facilities plan, draft plan for the Parks Advisory Review. So that's when we start adding the chapters back in and pretty much rounding out the comprehensive parks plan. And with that, then we'll bring it in front of the Parks Advisory Board. We'll review the entire thing. You guys can decide if you really do, you know, think that it's a workable document that is right on par with the pulse of what the folks of Clark County wants. And then we'll take it. We have to do submit a CEPA permit. And that's going to be a timely thing. We can just kind of do that.
Yeah, it's a non-project action, so it's not anything that's time-intensive or anything like that, but it is a procedural requirement that has to be met.
Mm-hmm. We got to do that, 90 days in advance?
No, that's the submission to Department of Commerce.
Okay.
But we can, generally, we do the CEPA review after the Parks Advisory Board makes the recommendation and before it goes to the Planning Commission.
Okay.
So if there are any comments, which I don't anticipate any, but if there are, the Planning Commission is able to see those comments before they make a recommendation before the County Council.
Very good, thank you. And of course, then it goes to the Planning Commission, and then we have a work session with the Board of County Councilors. And then we follow up with our hearings. And so our anticipated finish date or completion date is, I'm going to say, mid-August. That's the intention. And so, of course, you know, with this comprehensive parks plan, it is strictly a county document. You know, we separated from Vancouver Clark Parks, so that was a pretty good-sized change. So instead of showing all the city and county, we're strictly focused on the citizens of Clark County and what they really want to see. And so I think that... I think it's going to be a good document. We've had some great progress to date and some excellent information, and it's really going to help drive a good product in the end. So thank you for all of your help on this.
I want to make sure that when they're doing the survey, what Gene talked about, you know, these, we have X number of park dollars. How would you like to see them spent?
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the questions.
Yeah. It is on the survey.
I thought that it was a survey.
They actually give you $100 to spend and a list of choices.
What would you do with it?
Where you'd like to put it.
Exactly.
And you get to choose.
Very important.
And it has to add up to $100, Marsha.
Oh, get $100?
Any more than that.
Yeah, I go to Hawaii with 99 of them.
Yeah, we're women. We can spend money. It's not a problem.
That's a real big part of this is being realistic. You know, we've only got so much money to spend, and our resources are limited. We're still climbing out of deficit mode here, and we have been building parks. You know, we completed two parks this last year, but that leaves us kind of in deficit mode in two of our parks districts for building parks until we can replenish that, and that's through the new development, quite honestly. So it may be 3 or 4 years before we can actually build another park in, say, Park District 10, because we just got that building shut up there, and that depleted that particular PIF fund. So we have to be fairly realistic about, when we build, or when we actually
start the parks. Did you say that 10 is depleted?
10 is depleted. We just completed.
Was it completed or depleted?
Season 10. Oh, I'm sorry.
You can now, remember.
I'm sorry, depleted. There was the funds that we had in the development funds for PIF District 10 went to Chinook to complete that park. So we have to...
We need to talk a little more on that one.
Sure.
We'll do it offline. Because my calculations don't show that.
Well, in the acquisition balance we've got $2 million in there. But that's strictly for acquisition. So we really can't mix, development...
Yeah, I do understand that.
And so that's where we're at right now. So that's just an example. Same thing with Dogwood Park. We just got done completing that park and that area for that particular district. We don't have any funds in there, so we have to regain those funds. It might take a couple of years. It depends on how fast.
You're still growing, girlfriend. You're going to have money in your PIF 10 before you know it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but. I'm just this simple woman that says, I put this much into my checking account. I wrote checks for this. This is my balance. I'm just simple that way. And I always like to look. I thought there was 3-point-some-odd million there. And when I find out it's 50,000, I always say, where's the checks?
Well, I don't know if the grant money goes back into the PIF. Does it? So
does our grant money not go into the PIF?
I think the grant money is actually unencumbered, so we can actually reutilize it in a different fashion.
Oh, that's where I'm at.
I think that's probably where you're at.
All right, well, we'll worry about it later. We'll worry later. I always think I got more money than I do anyway.
You still have checks left.
I still have checks left. That's right.
So parking grant fees are only one funding source. We still have the opportunity for grants, and that's why this comprehensive plan is so important that we get it down, that we identify those sites, because then we can go after grants. And help fund park development and acquisition. And so that's huge. And then, of course, we've got personal donations and corporate donations that can help us out. And so there's a lot of avenues, but we do have to identify what those avenues are for each and every acquisition or development that we plan, for this capital facilities plan, and move forward with that way.
So what do we do with those, just curious, with those grant dollars? And I'm thinking, like with Cougar Creek, we just got, $500K back.
We haven't gotten it yet, but it's supposed to be coming this month.
Well, it's on its way, right?
With RCO, yes.
So that can't be used on the development of it?
It could.
Oh, it could. It is not designated that it goes back to that same fund.
It goes back in the same district for the most part, but it's we can either use it for acquisition or development. We have to see what that's. We might have some deficit that we have to pay for still. And so once that is covered, we can figure out what we need to utilize those monies.
Oh, it's good to know that. I obviously had that wrong in my mind.
Right.
I always thought it went back into the same.
Yeah, that was a reimbursement for the acquisition of the park itself.
Yeah.
And so my understanding is it is unencumbered, so we don't have to put it back into acquisition. So that's a good thing.
Okay.
I've asked
good
that
to
question
know.
A few times and got the right answer, so that's good. So essentially, this is a document that represents Clark County and our future for the 6-year plan as well as the 20-year plan. So we need to kind of put on our long range thinking hats and really figure out, what we're going to look like in 20 years and where we want to be. And so we're going to be asking quite a bit of you in the next few meetings, and hopefully we'll come up with something that's very tangible and useful. So, any questions?
Could we maybe take just a minute, though, on these dates that you mentioned for our open houses?
Absolutely.
I've been getting several emails.
Sure.
And I thought we might take just a minute and find out which member is going to attend which of the open houses.
Yes. Were you collecting the emails on that as well?
Yeah, I noted a number of them.
Yeah, we all. I've been.
Yeah, it was. So.
Okay. I am happy to. We have, as Bill mentioned, open houses on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And those are at the Three Creeks Library, the Center, Community Center, and the library for Washougal Library is where the third one is.
We're at the fire station.
Yeah. Where?
At Camas.
Camas. Yeah. Oh, okay. That one's changed a couple times, but that sounds about right.
We are at the fire station.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'll make I'll ensure that I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Three Creeks was on the 4th.
Yes.
Three Creeks is on the 5th.
Thursday,
the 5th.
These are the
firehouse.
Yeah. Oh, on the back.
Yeah.
Because
I wanted to attend, but I'm going to go on the out of town instead. I can't.
So can we just stick some names? You said you...
I wanted to, but my dad's turning 70, so I'm going to go visit
him. Oh, the audacity.
Yeah, I was kind of...
Okay. So, Marcia, you were going to go what day?
I said I'd be happy to fill in. I just have a problem with driving after dark.
Okay.
So I've got to have it.
I'll do the 4th at the Camas Washougal Fire Station.
Okay. Adam?
I'll do the 3rd and the Center.
3rd and the Center.
Let me do
Camas also.
Let me do the Center.
And I, of course, will do Three Creeks. And I might come out to Camas, too, because my daughter lives there.
Can't come to Camas if I go to Camas.
We just can't have more than three.
No, we can't have more than three.
Yeah. More than three. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oops. Camas.
Well, I didn't think you probably didn't think you'd have that kind of a problem.
Oops.
Where you have more participation than you can handle.
Right. No, that's... At these open houses, we're probably going to have about 4 different stations, you know, with the big maps.
So which one would
be fairly interactive with folks. Along with these maps, we'll probably have some questions, and then people can kind of fill in the blanks or put something onto the map, like where they live, where they'd like to see a park, that kind of thing. What kind of amenities you'd like to have. So probably, you know, it'll be an interactive, meeting, I hope, and then we'll have a presentation. And the CBTV video that we did, thank you for Jennifer and John. Participating in that. I think it was due to release this week? Today.
I think it'll probably be really next week. It should be next week. Yeah. If you want, I can spend a little bit of time talking about how we're going to get the word out.
Sure.
Focus on this. Have we finished with the
tap
each open house?
Was Gene going to provide, I think we discussed at the last meeting, some talking point issues?
Yeah, some talking points
public
for
interaction.
Us.
Yes.
We'd
like to have
those prior.
We'd like to have you do. If you come up, when you come to these meetings, we'd probably like to have you be at a station and have those talking points and that you can engage all the directly.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we...
I'd like to have
you before
I'm supposed to be there, so I have a chance to read over them.
The plan is, I think, a week ahead of these open houses, we'll probably have a mock, open house, and
we have a workshop in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe by then
we can do that.
Which would be a week before the open house.
If we get the maps done, I think that they're going to be done.
We're still on board for that workshop, aren't we?
Yes. Yes, we're still on plan.
On the 17th.
I think we're going to continue to hold 2 meetings a month until
weeks
we get
today.
Through this whole process.
What day is that workshop?
27th.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks from today,
mm-hmm.
And it's noon to 2:00.
Yeah, I'm glad on the 27th. I'm sorry. That's it for me. Well, it's a good week for me.
Just very quickly, let me run through some of the things about what we're going to be doing to get the word out to people. Of course, with this type of outreach, we want to spread the word as wide as possible. So how do you do that? Well, we're going to be using a variety of techniques to do so. And Bill mentioned the CBTV video. It should be done certainly sometime next week. We will have that posted on our website. We want to have all these components basically link up. So we have an online community survey. We have 3 open houses. We have a CBTV video. We have an email address for the parks folks that you can just send in comments randomly if you would like, as long as you put a complaint in the subject line of the email. One of the main ways we hope to get word out, though, is that we compiled an email distribution list. Right now we have 5,600 75 email addresses on this list. The good thing about this list is that these are people primarily who have been involved in parks issues in one capacity or another. These are people who have reserved a picnic shelter or a ball field through our online active network system. These are also people who reserved a picnic shelter back when we were still joined with the City of Vancouver for the past 3 years. These are people who were part of our volunteer program through parks. These are people who have signed up to receive updates through the Greater Park Parks District website and such. And we've also gotten about 300 email addresses from community planning as part of their outreach on the general county comprehensive plan. So we have quite a few people that we plan on blasting them with emails, quite frankly. And in all honesty, we're hoping that people on this board are going to do the same, that you're going to get the information we send out, that you're going to post it on your Facebook pages, send it to your friends. We're going to be relying on the neighborhood associations, hopefully, to do the same too. And I think we have most of the neighborhood leaders on our email distribution right now. So ideally, it's kind of almost like a blitz of information that's about to be unleashed in terms of the CBT video. We also will do a county news release, putting all this information out there as well too. And hopefully it'll all come together. We will get some of that messy vitality going where people are passing information back and forth. And anything that people in this room can do to get the word out is much appreciated. The final thing I'm going to mention is that we've actually come up with a flyer that we're going to be posting in our parks that advertises the three open houses. It has a link to the county website where you'll be able to watch the video or you'll be able to take the online survey.
Community centers also?
I was just going to ask, Jeff, are you going to be connecting with the community centers? I think even though they're technically in the city, you know, I think they, you could probably get a lot of connections and communications with people, even a kiosk in their main lobby that has our survey ready to go so people can just fill it out right there.
That would be a good idea.
Absolutely. And we're kind of hoping we can get one kiosk put in at City Hall as well as the Public Service Center.
That'd be so great. Yeah,
that'd be great just to get the word out.
And us, who knows that? Same idea, that don't limit it to county parks, but all the city parks too. That's great.
We also have community planning has another 759 email addresses that we can use. Unfortunately, we can't export them, but if you send it to Mary Lee, then she can then bless
them. And I'm glad you brought that up because we talked with, for example, Chris from Evergreen Public Schools about, okay, don't give us your email distribution list. Here's just some information you could use your distribution list to send this out to as many people as possible. We will encourage anyone and everyone to do that.
Best of possible, Jennifer.
If anything's possible, we'll have to see. It'd be super if we can get a link of some kind on the webpage and versus a massive distribution piece, but something like that on our webpage that would link you to your webpage with the process on there.
Yeah,
because
definitely the parents through the schools are some of the big users. If they'll just take a minute to respond.
Yeah. Your best, I've always said this, is the best way to connect with people in Vancouver Public Schools really is around their PTAs and their boosters. Those are the conduits to the other parents in that particular school. Things where we send out, distributions to certain listservs are usually pretty coveted discussions or announcements or, you know, message from the superintendent, things like that. So they're bombarding individuals, get sent to be scrutinized a little bit more. But really when you're talking about an ability to connect with other parents who will respond, who are active in your community, those are your PTA and your PTO, your boosters at every school. So, and they're active at every school.
We did bring a bunch of flyers along today, so if you want to take them out to your respective groups, neighborhood associations, we didn't make that many out, but we can certainly send more. Yeah. Or we can make copies so it's not at your expense.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Okay.
Now, my mixer is going to be up the 18th. Is that it? Because I've been checking out there and it changed its date, I thought.
We kind of put that on hold right now. I'm not sure if we're going to be utilizing that or not. We're still not there yet. But
I love it.
We'd love to
see, I want it to be there year round. Because I don't think it's just the comp plan when you're listening to residents. And I think this is something we could leverage ongoing. You know, it's important to be listening. It's falling through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Well, it's not dead at all by any means. It's just on hold for right now. But we might be able to change our mind here and get things back up prior to the open houses. So.
Oh, that would be disappointing if we didn't use it. Well, I've already got it on my Facebook page.
Well, way to jump the gun.
When I went out to log in, it says post to your Facebook page. So I pushed the button to do that.
Well, to be honest with you, that's a product of conservation techniques, and they're going to be helping us host that. But they're actively developing that, and then we stopped them because we weren't sure if we were going to continue on with that contract. And so
really?
That's one thing I wanted you to chime in on as far as the use of our consultant services. Do we need them? Do you have to complete this process? I know, to me, it's pretty critical because they do so much of the background work that's got us to this space today.
Oh, you mean like
James? Yeah.
James too.
Holy cow.
As well as,
we couldn't do it without
as community
her.
Planning folks.
Yeah, and so, I couldn't do it.
Her and Steve.
Holy cow.
I
think we already do a lot of work as a committee, but the only reason why we can continue to do that work is it's distilled down to in a way that we can connect it immediately. If we had to start where Gene's brought us and Jeff's brought it, oh my goodness.
During this time of the divorce, you know, all the things that all the components that you've had to either create or find or whatever, you know, all that stuff that's been going on. She's been able to keep us on task, if you will.
And swiftly. Because she knows, and Jeff knows our entire system and what we have and what our standards have been, I think it's been exceptionally
productive.
In order
no downtime. One had to sit there and go, well, we have these many parks and this is what we do. You know, I mean, remember the consultants we used with the city process?
They didn't know anything.
It took us 6 or 8, 9 months to inform them about our park systems, mm-hmm. and then it still wasn't quite right. As we went through, they were great, and they provided some nice components afterwards, but that was a very long process.
That was not a productive relationship at all.
Well, this seems like an opportune moment to introduce Lori and Gary. I'm leaving the county at the end of this month.
Are you coming to the Vancouver School District by any means?
My kids already go to Vancouver School District.
You're so invaluable.
It's going to Ridgefield.
Because we're so late in the process, we've had... Oliver, my boss, has asked Lori and Gary to take over the process. I've given them all the background information that they need in order to continue the process, so I'll be available to them with questions. It's been fun. I've had a good time working with you all.
We refuse to let you go.
Wow, Jeff, but you've been really good to our group. Thank you.
Sure.
I miss you very much.
I'm going to blush. But they're fully aware and fully prepared to take over the project and any of the background stuff. But
all the more reason that we need Gene and Steve.
Absolutely. But
is it a financial issue?
I don't know.
We've listened to you.
This is a contract we brought last year on Hotspot for conservation techniques. So this group's been doing a lot of the work, but a lot of the technical work, like Jennifer was just saying, to get them to be able to focus on what the needs are, is being done by conservation techniques.
Oh, this is that 40,000
yes.
project?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Yeah, and that was what we were hoping to bring, get it, your comfort level up with going forward with that contract.
Okay, what, the reason that we say, wait a minute, we don't want to think about it. No one has talked. No one has shared with us what it was or anything like that. And in my own mind, I looked at the $30,000 contract that the city of Vancouver paid resulted as a, we need a new parks and taxing district right after they failed.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to do all these other things that didn't do any of it because somebody set them in motion. And I'm thinking, It wasn't our motion. It wasn't. So is I viewed it like, go buy a car. I don't know, just go buy a car. Well, you want to specify, or you want to have an idea. Does everybody want that kind of car? Well, what are we going to buy? You know, what's the specifications? So we had zero information on that, and we want to make sure we don't repeat the failure of that $30,000 contract.
And you know from our discussion my feelings about those contractors.
So I
agree with you there, but it sounds like a failure on our part that we should have been more engaged with you.
Well, David, if I could say, Bill has been amazing at getting us all the information that we need in the most timely way, and I sit on both the city and the county parks, and we have done years worth of information in the last 6 months as a comparison to what we've been able to accomplish at the city at this point in that process. But I think in large part it's because of all the collective information that's come to us. We've had to start, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, from a very clean slate, right? We don't have our own comp plan or our own policies and naming policies, this policy, that policy. It's ground level, and I'm thoroughly impressed with how far that the staff and the contractor has been able to get us at this point. So I appreciate that you're here today to hear about what has been going on and hope open up more dialogue. But it's been impressive.
Good time for me to give some feedback.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Would you like Kelly and I to give you status reports from the committee?
I would love to have a lot more conversation.
Kelly,
we're not having any. But before we do that, let me share. First of all, John, I heard what you said. That's normal for parks to be a low priority and the first ones to suffer and to suffer the cuts. That's not the case for the current board. It's a high priority, and we're already saying, what can we do to build parks and to make them more of a priority? So we're on your side. And the reason that I'm here is to convey our interest in making sure that you guys know you're appreciated, you're needed, we want to hear from you, we don't hear enough. And how can we help you? One of the smartest ways, I've been taking notes of, like, okay, how do we make this better? And one of the things is I love transparency, open government, and be able to just put it out there. Situation awareness at a glance is what I like to call it. I see all of these bullet points we ran through, and you did this, you did that, you did that, and I'm thinking, I haven't seen it. So if you're working on documents and you're defining specifications and goals and missions and priorities and projects and those kinds of things, I would think it ought to be on the website, on the parks website, and so we ought to be able to know what's on that capital facilities plan, and where are those on the map, and how much money is in each one of those accounts, and what is the proposed schedule, and if we're not moving forward on something, what are we waiting for? The main thing we're waiting for is the maintenance funds. We got capital funds in a number of these. And instead of just waiting for more of the way we've done it in the past, well, we just need to be able to have more funds for public works to keep maintaining these, I'd love to be able to see the desires, the passion that we have from the so many volunteers turn loose a little more. Let the organizations and neighborhoods and individual groups adopt them and let them mow and let them do more than pick up paper and let them do a lot more they can do than they currently are doing. Perhaps we can do more by finding a way to spend less on maintenance and operations. Also, I'm thinking the parks, when you create all that lawn and all of those that maintenance that says, okay, you got a lot of surface area there, you need to be able to, now you need to mow it and edge it and maintain it and weed it and fertilize it and water it. I would love to see more emphasis on trails, because trails are, people love to volunteer to create trails and maintain trails, and it is a pretty low cost operation and maintenance. And if we can't build full on parks because of the maintenance, maybe we can emphasize more trails and have more connectivity between these areas. It doesn't take that much space. So I've got a bunch of ideas. I'd love to be able to interface with someone to see what we can do to champion these amazing amenities and do it in a way that we can all engage better. I love to hear and love to see if you're building a boat in your basement, put a glass house around. I want to see. In other words, if you're creating documents and you're creating vision and you're sorting out priorities, you really ought to be there, post it on the fence, because not only can the commissioners see it, but also the community can see it, the organizations can see it. We can point to it, we can Facebook it, and there it is. That's a clearinghouse to cast a vision and to somehow build momentum in order to do a lot more than it is. So that visibility is really important. Right? And I look at the this here in item 5 there, and it's got all those bullet points. You know what's missing? Website. I know we have a website, but it is underutilized, and it's not living up to potential, because all of our Facebook pages and the Twitters and all those can point to that, and we got it, but we don't have the links there.
So we actually talked a lot about that at our last meeting.
Well, that's a little bit what's holding things up.
You're right, David, because this document we were given last week, their last meeting, there's no reason you shouldn't have, or the website shouldn't have had this document also. Because it came, everybody got it in their email. It wasn't like it was secret or something.
So
I agree.
The reason that we didn't approve that contract is because of this void, this vacuum, this lack of communication. And I'd love to be able to turn on the lights and close that communication gap so that we all can get on the same page. I mean, our community too. I also think it's really important, and this is my view, you guys can educate me because my view is just kind of uninformed right now, is that when we are responsible for our comprehensive plan, this is Clark County's unincorporated park comprehensive plan. And we're responsible to support and be good neighbors to the jurisdictions that have their own parks, but they define their own. And when we go downtown Vancouver into City Hall and all these, we have to somehow not just say, well, we all have the same vision, because you might have the urban area defining what the rural area is going to be doing.
That's right.
And it's important that at least when we capture the survey, we ask them, are you in the city? What's your address? If they don't want to share the address, at least I'll be able to answer whose parks are planned, whose vision are you casting, the city or the unincorporated areas? Because they're different. Mm-hmm. The cities have Vancouver, have a lot more emphasis on Furstenberg and Marshall and these amenities, and they're very different than ours. Mm-hmm. And they might think, well, we have more of those, and wrong vision, wrong jurisdiction, wrong influence here, because we want to be good neighbors to them, but we can't be them, we don't want to be them. We want to make sure that we define the identity of this new freedom that's uniquely Clark County unincorporated. So anyway, that's a little bit of what I wanted to share. I'm really hungry to hear and to make sure that your work that you're working so hard to do, you're dedicated here on this beautiful day. Yeah, it's a nice building, but you're still inside here trying to sort this all out. And it's still in so many ways like a boat in a basement. I want to see. Put it in the water. Help us be able to hear and get the miles out of it. And there's so much more that could be potential developed here. That's why I'm here, and I'm not alone. We made parks a priority when we took and we said we're going to fund it from a general fund, and so we got this part. We want to make sure that your potential is heard and put out there, published, and the lights turned on.
that's my opinion.
That sounds good. Yes.
I think part of the problem that's in the past, it's always been that your commissions or committees, they get the plan written, it's all done, and then they bring it to you and
yes,
say,
and
well,
that is the last one on the list, and I say, by that time, it's too late.
Forget it. That's right.
Because we have to interact on this because we're elected representatives. We're listening to and we're interacting, and we go to a lot of meetings where there are a lot of citizens, and they're speaking to us, too, and we don't even know what you're working on. We might have to. We might be on a very different page, and we want to close that communication gap.
Would it help if we sent a representative at least once a month to just report to you?
Well, that's where Kelly and I had actually talked
well,
about whether
but
we
the thing
should
is doing
that.
It, it's not reporting.
No, it's just
to me.
Sharing.
What it is the transparency, the publishing of what you're doing on your website. Because then we can get to it anytime, and we're not alone. The numbers get really big, especially if we can point to it. I post on my Facebook Monday through Friday every single day, and I'm looking for interesting things that are relevant to the community that would either invite them to participate or somehow say, hey, guess what? Look what's happening here. I can't point to this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I will
put it there. I can't.
Yeah, I will say that that does bring up one question as far as, because I agree with you on the transparency. I like to see along the way. But a lot of times, until something has been fleshed out and fully developed, it's in draft format. And draft
right
can go on it, but a lot of times the feedback that we've heard in the past, not from you, is don't bring it to me when it's just a rough draft. When it's a fleshed out concept, bring it to me. So I'm hearing that you've got a different...
That's not the main thing. I know Jeannie Stewart's not that way. She does her homework, and she wants to somehow fulfill her responsibilities as an elected representative to be really tuned in and listen. She's a great listener. And I too, feel like the easiest thing to do for an elected representative is say, just, you know, I'll have it, I'll rubber stamp it, what's next? Or just, yeah. But in reality, we're here to help. And we're here to participate in the process. We don't want to dictate. We don't want to tell you what to do. But somehow, we also want to be able to see and be in and give you some feedback on this, because we hear from people and you hear from people. We can enlighten each other.
It will be good to enlighten each other.
I was trying to say something.
This group has been working really diligently and dedicated in subcommittees and committees. And I think what... From my perspective, we've been trying to get it where we have a base. I mean, we maybe felt like we don't have a base to work from yet because we're so fresh into the parts process. And so, for me, I've always felt like we're trying to build this base up. And then when we can have this base, maybe we won't meet so many times. And
yeah.
It's probably about 8 or 10 hours a month right now that we're meeting and then doing our homework around it and coming in. And so. Maybe that's where some of the sort of disconnect has happened so far, is that you're trying to build up so fast to get to a base, so it's interesting.
Well, the formation,
is Kelly on
formation of your draft.
Because I think he was trying to say something.
Take form out there in the open where, because the idea is, let this be a really public process so people can see what kind of cake are we going to bake? Well, mm-hmm. Let's take a little bit of it and put it in there and see what they say. I don't like radishes. You know, that draft process that unfolds step by step, incremental, where you get feedback from people with your Facebook page, oh, comment on it, say, I like this, I don't like that. Then you'll be, we'll all be much more interactive, because there's a whole bunch of people that feel very strongly about parks. We'll hear from them if we somehow say, here's what we got so far, and you'll make it better.
I still say this should be there, because it says work session.
Yeah.
Okay? People would look at this and say...
Well, would that be with our minutes? Could you maybe post it with the minutes?
The
handout from our...
Sure.
I bet that could go there on the grid.
Anything that grid is to put all of your working documents to, so that you get the more miles out of it.
So
is Kelly wanting to?
So
I think Kelly was trying to say something.
He's on mute.
You have something to say, Kelly?
He's on mute.
Oh, I wasn't, but I would like to say something.
Go ahead.
But sure, since the conversation totally, then I just want to make sure that everybody knows, I think the world of both Steve and Gene and the work they've done over the years for the county, and I'm tickled that they are helping us with the comp plan, and I hope we can continue to see them work with us. They, I know Steve has probably has more knowledge about our neighborhood parks in the unincorporated urban area than anyone, because he was the person who set that stage in motion to allow the path on levy to, not on levy, but a park district to be able to build those parks. So we've got the right people in the right place. Gene is probably one of the best public speakers you can have because of her background as an educator. She is very comfortable speaking with the public and does an amazingly good job. So I just want to get my 2 cents in with the two of them. And I really want to make sure that both Marcia and John know that I appreciated what they had to say today. And Bill is doing an amazing job of pulling us all together and keeping us all in line.
Yes.
It's fun to be halfway around the world and watching this go on today. I'm sorry I'm not there, but this is the way it is. I'm glad to be able to participate from here at the same time. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to say, too, that... Are you done, Kelly?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm very thankful for Bill. Bill, you're doing a great job. And I have full confidence, and I don't have any reservations. Our staff is fabulous.
Yes.
They love parks, too.
Yes.
And we want to make sure that you're supported, and we want to find ways to build more. I don't want to wait 3 or 4 years to build parks. I want to find a way to somehow have those that are just wait to be turned loose and let us adopt it and take care of it. You build it, we'll take care of it. Things like that happen. Like the, what do you call it, the park hosts? I don't know, the members.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
The ambassadors? Or
the ambassadors. No. If you go to like Silver Falls Park.
Park hosts, yes.
Right? And what
park hosts.
Park hosts. Park hosts.
Yes.
The seniors, they're there to engage. And they got their RV that's parked there, and they make the circle with everybody, and they visit with everybody. We don't have that here. How come? Shouldn't we? They're free. They're waiting for us. We haven't given them the opportunity. Shouldn't we do that? It's an idea.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
We've been sitting on that since I've been elected. I'm thinking, why don't we make it a priority and see if we can make it happen, unless there's a reason not to. Anybody who wants to volunteer in a capacity more than they are now, like with power equipment or whatever,
they do. We've got a lot of them that want to.
Well,
but we're told that there's a liability issue.
So, the liability issue, we extend the insurance to cover them. The county can do that. Why wouldn't we do that?
Good question. Contractual agreements with your maintenance staff?
I'm not aware of any limit. And if we want to do that, and we try to do that, and we find that there's a reason we can't do that because of this contract, I want to see it. But we haven't done that. Right now, we're just not doing it. So, by all means, there's opportunities, and think and dream and say, why can't we do this? Let's do it.
Yeah, we said redefine the process if the process says no.
I can tell you
well,
this.
I
can tell
I
you
know
this,
that's
that
simple.
With don't settle for no. Because the answer with me and the answer with my colleagues is yes, and then unless we have a really good reason to say no, it's a yes. And we're looking to you to say what you want.
Thank you. Yeah.
So
not that she set me up to say
not,
that, but
you are not.
But you know we've talked about
you
it.
You are not on the losing side.
Yeah.
Think like winners, because you just need to define your goal and steps to get there. That's what you do. You figure out what do you want to do and how to get there. And we're saying, what do you want to do? How you get there? And we're not hearing.
One of the things I think I can bring to the table is, so I worked in the nonprofit world as well, and I worked linking up different organizations to partner together.
Yeah.
And so I think it seems to me that maybe it's different with parks, but it seems kind of a difficult thing to, or maybe it just hasn't been done in that much in the past, where you link different organizations to get together. For instance, by my house, I'm out towards Dollar's Corner Battleground, and there's a huge chunk of property that is owned by, I believe it's WashDOT, and the Department of Transportation. So they own this massive chunk of property, but it's all bog. So it's a huge, beautiful wetland. And to where, if it's possible, the county could work with WashDOT to make like a floating dock out there. That, you know what I'm saying? Where it's, or I'm using
or some kind of a trail around
something, it. Right, a trail around it. That you can work with different organizations that have the property, you know, where you don't have to you don't have to pay a massive amount of money for this to acquire the rights to hang out on that property.
Yeah.
And so that's what
the integration of these critical lands, these wetlands, these, you know, conservation spaces, the stormwater facilities, parks, all that stuff together can work so much better than we are now.
Right. And so that's what I really hope that
well,
this plan will incorporate, that there is an intentional integration of that. Because as of right now, I don't necessarily see it.
Yeah.
And so
so
what
there's...
Happened?
Well,
what
isn't Karen there's Llewellyn working on that issue for us?
Well,
other than she's on maternity leave.
There's the short term, which is your comp plan update, and it says, okay, we're going to make work until that needs to be adopted June 30, 2016, right? And there's the, what 50. Can you think of that you can put on a list and get it done? And if there's something that you can tangibly, we don't have to wait for the comp plan update, we can do it now. There's nothing that says we can't do it now. We can do it any of these things now. If you can just simply say, here's a list, get your committee, define it, bring it up.
Oh yeah, well Karen is doing it now. That's what I was saying.
Okay,
well she's
a
volunteer
list
coordinator.
Stored up somewhere because I haven't heard anything.
Oh, she's a volunteer coordinator, and I might have that wrong, but she's working on linking up those relationships.
And if you need authorization, we got lots of room on our agenda.
So the big point is, I'm hearing you loud and clear, let's make stronger effort to get out to the community with our information, as well as reaching out to our counselors.
Website.
Further.
Put it on the website. If you got documents, put it on the website.
Yes, one thing we can do to improve that is, you know, we do have a grid on our parks website that have the audio of all of our meetings, plus, you know, the agendas,
and these documents.
Exactly, what we're lacking are the documents, so that's what we can start putting on.
Yeah, we gave everybody on the homepage. There's a big button right there. It says advisory boards should go right to there's parks, and there's all your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a vision. That's what we can do.
So you go to Parks Advisory Board and it has the members and then the meetings, so
yep.
We can put the documents in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, we're at the same spot. I'm like, well, we're there.
Yeah,
we're there. We're just not.
Yeah.
We're not. Paper there, audio, and minute.
Well, your documents, all these things that you said, got that done, I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell you if it's just agendas and minutes. That's the means and that's the tools that you use to create the real thing that says, this is what we're going to do. Put stuff on our agenda.
Yeah.
What do you want? Bring specific stuff. And, yep, you got to do your comp plan, but whatever. In the meantime, you got all these other stuff we can do today.
Yeah.
We're not doing it. So, yeah. Encourage you to do it.
Well, I will say that we did spend, and I know you're an advocate of this, we did spend a good portion of a meeting not just talking about the website, but talking about all different types of new age social media, because we need a stronger presence on, and we talked about each of our Facebook pages and who wanted to Instagram or Twitter, because some of us aren't real strong in that. But we need to have people that have got different viewpoints out there talking. And social media is the way of the future. So, yeah.
Yep. So you must
We're
have
just a step behind you.
If you got this list of stuff, and I wrote down more stuff, it's somewhere, but it ain't on the website. Not that I can find it. It belongs there, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay.
So, thank you. So thank you for your time. I appreciate that. And getting back to the mind, make sure that's exactly what that program is all about, is interaction.
Absolutely.
It's just like Facebook, but it's
yeah.
So that'll work out great if we can get that going. So.
That was well, first of all, I wrote down a bunch of stuff. I'm going to also work closely with staff. And if any of you want to meet with any of us counselors, I'm one of them that says, welcome ads out. And I would be happy to sit down with any of you to encourage you. And I'm waiting to say yes to stuff. Is there anything else that you feel like I should stay for in order for me to be tuned in?
I was going to give a quick presentation on the Stewart acquisition.
All right.
I would love if we did go forward with Mind Mixer, maybe if we understood some of your interests with parks and you would like to listen to what the citizens, if you
oh,
want
can
to
be a listener.
If you want to be a listener, that's a great way to get you connected to what the citizens are telling us.
I'd love to.
If we go forward with something like that.
If there is an open slot on my schedule,
it's literally up to you. As many times as you want to go in and listen and look at comments, your face is on there, and they say, I know David Medora is a listener for this topic, and then you can choose the topics that you want to listen in on in the community.
Tune in.
If we do go forward with the Mind Mixer component, that would be a great way to really keep on the pulse of some of the comments we're hearing and bringing forward as a group from our respective communities into the process.
Great.
I just want to check. Did you have any more questions on the specific work that the consultant was going to be doing? Because I know that's important.
I assume that the consultant is going to be given a scope, a definition and guidelines and those things, those missions, those specifics. That's from last year.
Oh, no, this is from 2006. This is the Bible that we're going through.
Well,
and that's what the product is that she's guiding us to.
Well, that's where you're working from. That's the BC days.
Yeah,
we want the AD days.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, what do you got so far that's AD? Oh.
So basically, when it comes to
about this much.
They're
critical parts, because what we have done is a thing that takes the longest, which is if you don't have a target, if you don't have a vision to start out with that is clear and that everybody's bought into, you're never going to get there. So the hardest part, even though it's very short and succinct, was probably the most difficult.
Yes, and that's why I want to have done before you throw $40,000 and say you do it.
On the contract, it does show the entire scope of work. You know, pretty much everything that they're expected to do as part of that. So is that what you're referring to?
I see that as implementation of a vision. I haven't seen the vision yet. Giving me that?
Sure, you can do it.
Okay, thanks. So at this point, I'm speaking from ignorance because I haven't seen it. And I love just to, before we throw money at something, to find out what is this really going to do? What's that vision going to look like? Great. Okay, thank you.
Project scope.
You got it. I'm done.
Thank you so much. And the vision is generally ours here to really share, and it's not necessarily that of the consultant. They're helping us out with all the technical aspects, but basically carrying our wishes forward. The same thing with community planning. So basically what our public tells us, and this is definitely an appropriate discounting that we are focusing on, and we are not trying to increase taxes or do anything where we're focused on is what the folks want out there and just trying to scope that. So that's where we want.
I do think we've gotten a ton of work done since the 7 months that we've been meeting in this work. I mean, I'm so impressed with how united we have come together as a group to come with a mission and a vision for parks and what might that look like and how do we go about getting this into a formalized process where we can really make something happen. And sharing that will be a critical step for us.
Yeah, and a key point that Jean and Steve have brought, well, especially Jean, is a consensus building. Because look at the diversity sitting around this table. and to bring us together to where we build a vision that was common and acceptable to all of us isn't a small feat.
And that's why all of that investment and all that 7 months of work, does this represent that 7 months of work?
No, we'll get
part of it. That's our vision.
Get transparent around it. Yeah.
Okay. So
we hear you loud and clear.
That is very much alive. Okay.
And I want to thank you all again, because it's because of you that we've gotten this far. I mean, everybody here, all of our Parks Advisory Board members, the officials and ex officio members, have all had a huge stake in pushing this forward. And so thank you for all the hours you spent, especially
yes.
These nice warm days that we'd rather be out doing something else. You're stuck in here, you know, and we're looking towards the future together. So thank you for your help.
Well, Mutual Admiration Society, Bill, because frankly, without you stepping in, not understanding the scope of parks, you have double humped it and brought it as the leader of the pack.
That's a good kind of dinner.
So, that's true. Back at you.
Just learn, just talk louder so we can hear you.
Okay.
And post stuff up.
Jeremy, you want to flip over to the script? So with the Stewart acquisition, I know we've talked about it, I believe, on two separate occasions, as well as with the counselors on two separate occasions. And so we've got Valletta Community Park right here, and it's a community park with multi-purpose fields, primarily soccer fields, one here. And then this is the piece of property. It's a Stewart property that we've been looking at acquiring since approximately 2013. I believe it was the fall of 2013. And Councilor Medora, I believe that was brought to your attention back in October of 13. And then we addressed it again maybe July of this last year. And so this is an old homestead house here. And there's two sisters and a brother that owned it and wanted to sell this piece of property to us for $206,000, I believe. The closing cost would be about $220,000. With the development that has occurred on this street that's leading up into the park entrance, which is a very, really narrow entrance, there's homes right here. And so the view into this park is very narrow, and the parking is really lacking, particularly when there's games going on football fields, when this park users that want to use the shelter, it is very restrictive.
And there's no street parking.
There's no street parking anymore. There used to be, and that was an outlet for all those sports groups, but especially when there's an exchange of groups coming in and groups going out. There's just no parking, and there's really no parking off to the north side as well. And so we met as a parks board, and as a result, we took a look at possibly put the parking lot on the north side over here. This is actually more of a neighborhood park, and this whole community over here really did not want anything for this to change at all. So we came back to this piece here, took a harder look at it, and it's a viable site for us to actually open up the view into the park, you know, for safety. And it's actually going to allow us to add probably between 60 and 70 parking spots. That's going to really relieve the pressure off this parking lot here, and people will not have to go up and down the street, you know, waiting their turn to find a place to park.
So, Bill, what are we waiting for to buy that?
Pam Mason has just been negotiating. We've been waiting for the brother who actually lives in the house, who's been dragging his feet,
okay.
And he finally agreed to go ahead and sell.
So we gave you the green light?
He gave us the green light.
Good.
So our next step is to get a staff report up and present that to the council.
Great.
Okay.
It's a really beautiful piece of property, too, as I recall.
Oh,
Is it eyesore
in the neighborhood that will be?
Yeah, we'll be happy to tear down.
There it is.
Yeah. And so that's kind of the fascia of our park right now. This is for a beautiful community park. So with that gone, with a parking lot here, some landscaping around it, it's going to really improve the park.
Giving the fire department a challenge there, huh?
A little training
opportunity.
That's where Jerry comes in at. He's good at pairing that stuff.
Bill, if there's anything that you've asked the councilors for, the commissioners for, in the past, and somehow it didn't happen, and it feel like it should, it probably felt this way. I would say make sure that, that nothing falls through the cracks, that if there's an opportunity, and so far you said no for some reason, I would say make sure that we understand there's an opportunity there to say yes, because maybe we're waiting for each other.
Well, actually, I think we had 20 staff reports that went in front of the board last year, and they were all approved, and so I'm very grateful.
Oh, okay. So you're not grateful. In other words,
wait a minute, you're running in your napkins.
I've been purely grateful for all the support we've got.
So we're a very permissive parent. We love to say yes.
Keep it up. So thank you. I appreciate it.
No, yeah, we'll like be to hear that, don't we? Staff report. Do say yes.
And then once purchased, we're giving these folks 6 months to clear out, because they truly have got a lot of stuff. They've been here since the 40s.
Oh, yeah. And,
if you saw behind me.
In fact, the two gals wanted us to kind of hold up the demolition so they could look into the walls and see what relics are in there. But we're going to work that out.
As soon as we receive the draft report and staff report.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. So thank you. And so we'll move forward with that.
Great.
I know some neighbors that are going to be happy, Bill.
Absolutely. Even Malata's going to be happy.
Of course. That's been an attractive nuisance for so long.
Well, that's going to help you out with your big 4th of July
event. 4th of July.
Absolutely.
Got to cancel 4th of July. We'll have
parking. Yes.
Or walk, because it's a very walkable neighborhood.
Walk. It won't be visible.
Yeah, you
probably have
some. Not with a 6 months though. Time, so.
We have a few connectivity issues.
By this fall, we'll have something in place.
Have
you ever heard of the celebration down there? Usually, you don't have to.
Yes.
Over 5,000 people each year in that little place.
Marcia, is there anything else?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I was sorry.
Barbara, I'm sorry.
No, just the round table.
Okay.
Is all I've got on my agenda. You have something additional?
No, I think that was all we had.
Super. We're excited about that.
Oh, well, yes. We've got a couple. Sherry Martin with the Brooks Foundation. I think some of you may have heard already. Yes. I think I've seen an email.
Oh, yeah, about Sherry leaving.
Today's her actual last day.
Yeah.
So we'll miss her dearly.
Yes, we will.
Where is she going again?
School for the Deaf.
For the blind.
Oh, sorry.
She's going to be primarily the same role as a director and collecting funds for the blind school to do with the piano.
Yeah. Music technology.
Something to do with the piano. Trying to collect funds so they can bring pianos in for the music capability for the blinds.
I'd like to make a statement to the effect that I really made a mistake. I assumed, and you know what that word does, that you were getting updates as we walked through this process. I didn't realize that wasn't happening, and I'm going to watch that a little more closely.
Yeah, it's my fault, too.
And I'm not saying
I assume that you're listening to
I think everything
to our,
that we have seen.
We probably should have been blasting it out there saying, listen to the grid.
Because in the past, that's what's happened.
We'll definitely get those posted on there. That should be an easy transition.
Yeah.
So.
And thank you very much for that. We have so many things on our plate that rather than look at the agendas in the minutes, we'd like people to see your 7 months worth of work somewhere.
Yeah.
And read that. I can't read without a highlighter. And that is my best way of getting the pearl concentrate in the useful form.
Okay. I did that in college. Great. Well, let's start with Adam this time, opposite side, the round table. Anything for the good of the order?
No, I think everything's good on my side.
Good. Laurie?
Just glad to be here.
Yeah, welcome.
Well, welcome. Jeremy?
No.
Nothing to add?
Right?
No.
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 Well,
Jennifer, you got to add something.
I have to say something. I just want to say that I've worked with Lori in some other capacities relative to school district and bicycle advisory committee for several years. And Jeff is a huge loss for us. I think we're going to find Lori to be absolutely amazing. She's completely dedicated you live this stuff from what I've seen in the past, you know, she, connectivity and all of the components, she gets the stuff that you're talking about, so I'm excited. Thanks for either being forced to take us on or agreeing to take us on when we get there. And just from a school district's report, you know, we're just doing the same type of capital facilities plan updates and things like that. So we're just kind of cruising along some of the similar parallels. So that's it.
Yeah.
I'd like us to find, with just a quick overview, what parks would possibly be improved through the use of volunteers, not just volunteers to come and cut the grass, but the seniors that he's talking about, actually park hosts. How many do we have that would be viable for? Are they all too small, or you know, all that sort of thing? I think we should be looking at that. I really do. We talked about this a long time ago, but I think that's something we should be considering. Louisville, for instance, it'd be a perfect place to have a live-in, you know, host.
Which is different than our caretaker.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely different. This is the people that actually
engage,
that's the word I'm looking for, in the park. So anyway, it's something I would like to see us approach and consider, even if it's just a footnote in this plan, that's something we want to go look for.
Yep. And first of all, there's no park too small or too big for that to occur, except for the camp host. That concept is if they live on site, you know, in an RV.
Yeah.
That would take place probably in a community or larger, if you will. We do have adopted parks as well that's going on, and that happens at ballparks and roadsides as well. But that's one thing that we're taking a look at for the future. We do have a camp host located out at Bratton Canyon Park, which is a regional facility. It's called campground, and that's working out extremely well. So we want to take a look at expanding that in the future as a possibility. I was just talking to Heath this morning whether we should take a hard look at our caretaker program and see if that might be a possibility of turn that into a camp host scenario.
Yeah.
It's good in a way because there's no money changing hands. It's all voluntary, you know, in exchange they get to stay on site for a period of time, so we'd have to figure that out. So there's a lot of things to work through, but it's something that we can work through.
We did it for 3 years. My husband and I lived in our RV. We thought he wanted to do it permanently. Thank God I talked him out of that. But it was a great adventure. We had a great time doing it.
It's a model.
They have no idea the kinds and where they come from and just all kinds. It's wonderful. It's a great place for the seniors. And then you also receive the benefits because there's someone there all the time.
Yes, yeah. National parks and state parks have been modeling that for decades, and it's very successful.
Do you need a golf course host by
now? As long as you have an RV bag.
Yeah, right over here at Green Meadows.
Yeah.
I might be able to volunteer.
Frisbee golf.
There you go.
I might be able to volunteer that one.
I just wanted to thank Marcia and John once again for your presentations and ask if Greg and Adam would like to do one for our March meeting.
I don't have my schedule for March yet, believe it or not, since we don't bid until the 11th of the month. So
okay.
I will not know probably until next week what my March schedule is. I do know that I'm off for the first three days for the open house.
Yes.
But I might be fine.
Okay, I'll touch base with you later. Adam, will you be up for the March meeting doing your neighborhood presentation?
Sure.
Getting to know Adam.
Sure.
Adam's neighborhood. Super.
I'm outside the network and the district, so.
You're
okay. Adam. Super. And I didn't have anything additional to add other than that.
I could use the word accosted, but I'll just say I had a couple of really good conversations with citizens a little while ago. Within an hour of each other, I had one person talking to me about Blackness Park and the development that's going around it. There's a big brouhaha going on about that, which I personally define as it's really a shame we have a major trail in that park going right along the edge where the development's happening. People wouldn't be nearly as worried if that. If there was a bigger buffer there. So a good park design feature to think of in the future for other parks. The other was a fellow who was basically saying, oh, you're on the Parks Commission, would you please give me all my money back? why are you buying land and not developing it, or why do you have parks that aren't fully maintained? And that's one of those discussions that will go nowhere, but we try. What a lot of that got me thinking about was the, again, and Councilor Medora brings the same thing up, is the perennial issue of educating and informing people that we can always work better on. And then again, what we're doing right now is planning and getting everything in that we can. There was something else I wanted to bring up. Oh, that after the discussion today, when it comes around for budget time, I think we definitely need to be bringing a proposal for slowly increasing the REITs allocation up to parks. Right now, I believe it's $300,000 a year. Is that what the...
What are you talking about?
The allocation of REIT money to parks.
Oh, REIT funds, yeah, for capital repair purposes.
Yeah.
Yes. That was $600,000 for 2 years, or $300,000 per year.
So...
And that's kind of been on hold. And that's been our primary major fixed budget that we've had in the past.
But it's been that level for quite some time.
Yes, for probably at least 12 years, I'd say.
Well, maybe it started out in 06 when I started.
Six, okay.
It was 400,000, and then it was augmented by 200,000 for 80 upgrades, and then it was always kind of defined as capital repairs. And so then from then on, I think it was 08, it was, or no, it was 09, 600,000 per biennium.
Anyway,
right.
So if we've got strong supports for it, it's, you know, never hurts to ask. And I wouldn't say just, you know, my immediate thought from a strategic planning standpoint is you don't ask for it to be $900,000. You ask for it to at least grow by the cost of inflation, maybe add an extra percentage on there or something, just so that we're making progress.
Because who else has not had an increase in that many years?
Well, actually, most people haven't in this last 6 years. Matter of fact, must have been decreasing. So I'm actually very happy to hear that it stayed at 600. But.
Yeah.
My turn. Just very brief. I have an action item here, which would be to email whoever I should email here. The action items that I would like to be able to see bring fruitfulness to what you have here, and also questions and invitations to opportunities that you're not cashing in on. So I'll make them as specific as I can in order to actually do so much more with Parks and Trails.
Well, I think Kelly and I are probably more than happy to be your contact link.
Okay. All right. You're right down your email address. I think it's in there somewhere, but...
For you again, sure.
Okay. Sir, I'm done.
Oh, I just wanted to echo Bill's comments and thank all you for all your work over the past 6 months. I know you were... I did get a chance the other day to go through a lot of the documents, and you guys have done a lot of work in a short period of time. So
yes.
Really appreciate all the time and effort you put into it.
Yeah.
And thank Bill as well. So,
yeah.
And thank you for coming today.
And I'm glad you did it. Thank you, because... That's really my message to you, too. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Really grateful. And the best way I know to thank you is to say, feed me. You have not, because you ask not. Ask.
Thanks for wanting to know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think that's a shift for me when I think about some elected official. It's a shift. You want to know, you want to keep informed.
Yeah, right.
That's a different way of interfacing with our public officials, I believe, than what I've experienced predominantly in the past. So, thank you. That's it. I appreciate that as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Just that we'll be unleashing quite a bit of outreach in the next 1 week or so, and I'm hoping that everyone will be involved in this and try to get the word out as much as possible. We have a lot of work to do, but I'm...
You just do that little select all button.
Is that
what
I'm doing?
Send it to everybody.
Like that all. You got it. Select
all. And then the only other thing is, happy Valentine's Day. Please spend it with someone you love.
Yeah.
And a long three-day weekend for all of these here government employees.
That's right.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I know. We get a lot of us around here. We get a three-day weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything to add?
I don't think so.
No? Bill?
I would like to say that...
Oh, Kelly's back. Okay.
...presentation to make for the March meeting on trails. I'm going to start with how we started the whole process of building public trails to move through that process. And since I was a major player in the County Parks Master Trail Plan, I'll bring that to the table. And hopefully we can take that and build off of that as part of our comprehensive plan.
Are you going to be here?
Yeah, you'll be back.
Okay.
I didn't mean to skip you, Kelly. You're gone off the picture. I thought you were gone. I thought you had dropped off.
We can't see you.
We can't see you.
No, we can hear you.
So I thought you dropped off. I wasn't ignoring you.
Oh, I'm here. I didn't just did.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, you guys have a good one.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
You too.
Bye.
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 I know for our next meeting, our plan was to do the assessment need and demand for sports fields and trails, and so that'll...
Yeah, so that fits right in. Yeah, Gene and Kelly and I had talked about it.
Kelly's a pro when it comes to trails.
Absolutely. And his work with Intertwine?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's great. And as far as our outreach, I know in the last comp plan, I believe our responses back from the surveys were right around 1,800. Oh, that's actually... a very, very low number when you start thinking about countywide, you know, responses that are potentially capable of getting. I'm hoping that we can at least get 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 so we get a really good read on what the folks out there in the county really want to see in the future.
When we go to, I know we're done with business, but when we go to the neighborhood association meetings and the team of neighborhood association, is there a set of iPads that we can bring along with where we can set them up, and anyone who's at the Neighborhood Association meeting, if you can stop and quick fill out the survey while you're here? Do we have stuff like that available? Mobile tablet?
We don't have iPads, but we can probably bring some of our laptops and keep those linked in so folks can just jump on real quick and do their survey.
I think that could help. Mm-hmm. I mean, because sometimes you get the information and then you go, okay, I'm going to be done when I get home. And then, you know, you have competing demands when you get home and it falls off the list. Oh, I wish I would have done that. I really wanted to provide my input, you know. So
yes.
I know that that's one of the things I use when I'm at my neighbor's and they want to talk about how come this has a lock on this park or whatever. I mean, I just pull my iPad up and I show them and I work with it and I go right here and this is your connection. Here, just send an email now or something, and that helps them facilitate getting it done.
Yeah, we're hoping to bring some laptops along with us so
that'd
people can right there, you know, just go ahead and do their survey and get it done.
Great. Good meeting, everyone. Yeah. See you in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Here, noon to 2.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.